Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense and operated by Carnegie Mellon University. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast. My name is Suzanne Miller. I am a principal researcher here at the SEI. Today, I am very pleased to introduce you to Julien Delange, an SEI researcher since November 2012. Julien's work focuses on the Architecture, Analysis, and Design Language, also called AADL. Before joining the SEI, he worked as a software engineer at the European Space Agency, where he led and contributed to several research projects related to software and system architectures. He also has a PhD from Telecom Paris Tech in France and developed the real-time operating system called POK for building safe and secure systems, something that's very important for both space and many other areas of the work of the SEI. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about coding with AADL. AADL is a modeling language, and so coding is not necessarily part of the base language. So let's talk about what it means to code with AADL. Welcome, Julien.
Thanks for having me, Susan.
So for those that don't know about the architecture, analysis, and design language, we've interviewed you before about this work, but please just explain a little bit, for those that aren't familiar with AADL, what it's meant to do and how it does it.
So AADL is a language to capture your software architecture and also explain the deployment of the architecture and the different execution components like processor, bus, and so on. So by using AADL, you can specify what are the different constraints and requirements of your system, how you execute different subprograms, functions over different tasks with different periods and all other aspects such as timing, safety, security requirement, and you can use the language to support different aspects of your software development process, such as a specification, so you specify your system with the language, but also validation. Or you can validate your requirement using the AADL language, and for that, we have different plugins in the OZATE toolset. OZATE is the reference tool to use AADL and to process AADL model.
And that's an Eclipse-based tool.
Yeah, exactly. And this is
which is an open space environment. That's an Eclipse-based tool, which is an open source environment for doing process kinds of work.
That's correct. And also the OZATE toolset, that is an Eclipse plugin, is totally open source. Anybody right. can download it. We have several analysis plugins. For people that are interested by a better presentation and overview, I did a webinar 2 months ago at the SEI, which is publicly available. Feel free to search on the SEI library, you will find it, and you can have a good introduction about the language, and we have model available publicly to use it.
So one of the things that has always excited me about AADL as a language is that unlike other kinds of modeling environments, it allows you to sort of say what you know at the time about, say, security. And you may not know everything right now about security. So you can say what you know, and let's say for component one, you know a little bit, and for component two, you know a lot. Both of those can coexist in the language at the same time, which is very different from other modeling languages. And so I'm really curious about sort of how does that play when you start talking about generating code from the model? How do you go about dealing with that? And what is it that AADL's code can do that may not be possible in other settings?
So first of all, we have to see that AADL is a language to describe the system architecture and not really the behavior of the system itself. In other words, right now, what's happening is we have many modeling languages to specify the behavior, such as Simulink, SCADE, and all that. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, Airbus just certified their new airplane, the A350, and they use a modeling language called SCADE, but it's to specify the behavior. Right now, AADL will be used to specify how you plug this component, the behavior of the system, the function, on the runtime architecture, how you associate the different components into the different processor, how they communicate with the bus, and all this kind of thing. After that, AADR can be used to generate all the configuration files for the operating system to configure the bus, and all the runtime architecture, create the task, and so on.
So the code that's being generated is not behavioral code, but it's the code that allows you to configure the runtime architecture so that that behavioral code will perform as it's expected. Is that?
That's correct. This is exactly what we are looking for. In other words, you can, with the automatic code generation, you can assess different architecture alternatives. If, for example, you are looking to use a single processor with different tasks, that can be a good thing because you lower the cost because you're just using one processor. But sometimes you want to distribute the system over two processors,
sure,
or have some redundancy pattern.
You may have a performance requirement that you've modeled in AADL that leads you to look at a multiprocessor solution, and you can then see what the effect on that behavior, the behavior code is of doing that different configuration.
Exactly. So you keep exactly the same code. What you change is just a deployment policy. And with AADL, you can automatically generate this deployment policy and configure the different real-time operating system and all that. So which comes, invite me to present the benefit of the code generation. And this is a huge benefit because if you have a product line with different variation in terms of deployment, you can make sure that you don't change the functional code. What you cannot change is just the way you deploy the code. And you automatically generate the new code, and you don't have to maintain a bunch of source code for each variability factor.
I see.
For each variability point. So you just change the model. You keep the same behavior code or behavior model, in fact, skate simulating, whatever you name it, whatever model you are using right now. And you just deploy the functional code on top of AADL, and after that, we generate automatically the code. A huge benefit as well is, as you said, in AADL, you can early on define the component and then refine it later and describe all the implementation aspect of each component. For example, if you have a product line, you can have different implementation of the same component.
Right.
And then we can have the library of component and refine the different component. One good aspect is you can define a library of component and then have different implementation and choose what component is going to be used for each product line, for each product.
So I hadn't even really thought about the use of AADL in the product line environment, but that's very powerful when you've got one of the challenges in product line deployment and maintenance is managing the variation and making sure you understand whether you've deployed the correct configuration to each individual instance. And so AADL can be the home of the performance parameters, the different configuration settings that are related to each of the different environmental instances. And now we can just, that's very cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
There is something else that people have to keep in mind is, for example, if in new domain, our domain where they start to write the requirement for safety, security, and stuff like this, they are starting to develop some new API, so you have to adapt your code. So if you just code by hand, what you're going to do when the standard change, you're going to update your source code manually. With the code generator, you just update the code generation pattern.
Right.
In other words, you change one pattern, you have the same model, and it's going to change your code. And you will be compliant with the new API requirement, whatever the new
standards are that you have to comply with.
Exactly.
And so in the safety world, those are fairly volatile. I mean, as we learn new ways to fail, we add new things into standards, so that is an ever-evolving environment.
Exactly. So after that, there is a challenge that is when you will rely intensively on the code generation pattern. In other words, what you generate has to be right.
Yes.
And this is a big challenge because after that, how are you going to prove that what you generate is right? So there is different ways to look at it. One way is to certify the code generator. but it's going to cost you a lot. And especially if you change and update the code generator, it's going to cost a lot.
And any change to the code generator, you basically have to go through a certification process over again.
That's correct.
That's the basis of your safety assertion.
That's correct. Another way to look at it is to automatically generate a code with some assertion pre and post condition to connect some validation tool, also to make use of formal analysis tool, also to generate automatically test case and stuff like this. In other words, you generate the code, but you also automatically generate the certification materials.
Nice.
So you come with the code, all the proof, and you can go to the certification.
You're probably still going to have somebody evaluate whether those certification materials are valid. I mean, that's
correct.
You're never going to get away from that, but you can at least remove one layer of manual generation of certification elements.
Yeah, what we are trying to do is to remove as much as possible all manual activities and try to automate everything as much as possible and just not rely on manual labor. That is, by definition, I mean, we are human, so we make mistakes.
Well, yeah, the human error factor is the thing that especially in safety and security arenas, you've got both. You have in safety, it's usually not intentional, but unintentional is bad enough. In security, you can have either intentional or unintentional kinds of faults inserted into manually based code. So these are ways of reducing the possibility of that. So have you worked on any projects where you've actually been able to apply the code generation and look at some of these analyses that you're talking about?
So right now, back in 5 years ago, when I was young and working at the European Space Agency, I worked on a project called TASTE, and we use ADL as a source language for the code generator. So we generate space application from ADL. So it was for European project. Europe is pretty active.
Europe is very much involved in model-based engineering in general, much more so than the
correct.
U.S. currently is. So lots of projects.
Yeah, that's
to
correct.
Choose from over there.
So, but it was still in research project. In the meantime, other agency in other countries abroad start to work on that topic and use AADL on operational project, not to generate the whole code, but at least to generate the OS configuration.
Okay.
And right now there is.
And to do analysis like you're talking about. So you're doing analysis. What happens if I change this aspect of the configuration or that aspect with this known behavioral
Which is a big
packet.
Advantage of AADL to generate the code. We have one model, one consistent representation of the system, nothing else. You cannot have several specifications in different files.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You cannot make a mistake. You have a strong semantics. Always the same model, and it is consistent across all the different activities, validation, code generation, verification, and so on. So coming back at the project right now, in other countries, they develop tools to generate the OS configuration. We are working with European partners to import this functionality of code generation. And something we want to do is to demonstrate that for a commercial operating system. So a COTS operating system for the avionics community is called ARINC 653. We have different operating systems that are compliant with the standard. And
This is ARINC 653 is a standard related to safety.
Yeah, yeah. And we want to demonstrate the code generation capability for a commercial operating system and show that we don't have so much overhead. The cost of code generation is really light, small, and you can afford
that. That's unusual.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the code generation systems of the past had, one of the complaints was that they had very high overhead. They created bulky, kind of awkward runtime.
That's correct.
Code bases that were difficult to the code generation itself was hard to duplicate.
Yeah,
so.
Because you have a lot of glue code and all that.
Right.
Here, the main benefit with AADL is we have a really strong semantics. There is a project in France where they generate code from AADL and they show that the overhead in terms of processing is less than 5% compared to handwritten code and generated code.
5% is excellent.
It's really slow, yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
So in fact, we're going to import that into the tool we have at the SCI. Also demonstrates the process with the commercial operating system. After that...
And these are operating systems that generally would be things that would end up in airplanes or automobiles.
So
they're things that are for embedded systems, not just IT systems, correct?
So the OS we are targeting right now is an OS for ARINC-653, which is an Avionic standard. So we're going to generate
Avionics kinds of applications.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the point, because Avionics is really... focus on safety, and they have already a lot of standard about safety and security. And
that's an area that has really, you mentioned the Airbus earlier, it is one of the domains that is really picking up on model-based engineering as a way to both reduce safety concerns and also to prove that they have met many of the standards that are related to safety.
That's correct. So something that is interesting is safety is a big concern for this community, and we have new communities that start to work on standard and start to work on their own approach and how to address security and safety issue. And they are picking the idea of in the Avionix community, so they start to adopt model-based engineering as well.
Yes.
So it's really interesting, and we'll see, I think, this work.
So AADL is a standard.
Yeah.
It's a standard language of the Society for Automotive Engineering, which
That's
automotive
correct.
Is not just wheels on the ground. It's also movement in the air. So avionics is part of that. Is there work being done to do things to update the standard related to code generation? Do you have enough knowledge about how this works yet, or is that something that is a little further down the road?
So we have several activities right now. The first one is to improve the usability of the tool, to make it more user-friendly with a graphical interface and so on. Have different view, for example, if you are...
So allowing different visualizations of the model that you're creating.
That's correct. For example, if you look at an AADL model, we can capture power requirement, also a timing requirement or safety requirement. What you want to do sometimes is to isolate a view. For example, I'm a safety engineer. I want to focus on safety aspect. So
right. Don't show me timing. I don't care about performance. Just show me the safety, fail-safe kinds of
exactly.
things.
And in this view, in safety, I just want to have the analysis, the safety analysis tool, and no performance or whatever or other view. So we are working on improving the user experience. Something else we have been working on is to improve the safety analysis tool. And try to be compliant as much as possible with the safety standard. So having the safety committee that tell us, okay, what you did, guys, is really great and can be useful. So have some feedback, improve the tool. So we did that during the last couple of weeks. And I think the next OSATEL release will be a good good success on that front.
Excellent. So you're working both on the fronts of experimenting with how you can generate code using some different tools and how you can leverage the code generation capability out of AADL, and then you're also looking at how do you update the standard to incorporate these capabilities. So
That's
I think you'll be busy for a little while.
Probably.
Well, I thank you very much, Julien, for joining us today. As you know, AADL is one of my favorite technologies at the SEI, and I love seeing the different things that you and Peter and the rest of the team are doing with this. So thank you for joining us today. For more information about AADL and the work of the Standards Committee, please visit the AADL Wiki site at www.aadl.info. To read the series of blog posts that Julien and Peter Feiler have written on AADL and model-based engineering, please visit blog.sei.cmu.edu and click on Architecture, Analysis, and Design Language. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you for listening.